It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. In his State of the State speech this week, Governor Tony Evers proposed a pathway to get experienced educators back into the workforce, pledging over $20 million to address recruitment and retention. And this is districts across the state scramble to fill teacher and support staff positions. Call in at any point, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sue Fondry is a professor and chair of the Education for Equity and Justice Department at UW-Eau Claire. Sue, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. We also have Michael Harris, Senior Director of Talent Management for Milwaukee Public Schools. Michael, welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning. And Mike Fries rounds us out here, Executive Director of Talent Acquisition, Development, and Retention for Green Bay Area Public School District. Mike, welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us today.
Mike, let's start with you in Green Bay. Green Bay Public Schools serving about 19,000 students. What is the employee shortage like?
Well, it's not unique just to education. It's not unique just to our educators, right? Over the past number of years, we found ourselves looking for educators in hard to fill areas, including special education, English as second language, bilingual, and not just a special education classroom, but special education specialists such as speech and language pathologists, occupational therapists, physical therapists. We find ourselves looking increasingly for folks to support a lot of our academic and career programming needs, such as technology and engineering education, business and marketing, for instance. And lately, we've actually seen it becoming more difficult to find world language instructors, mathematics instructors as well. So it has become really a year-round experience in the recruitment world, whereas historically, maybe a lot of that work was done primarily in the spring. So that's what we're seeing up here in Green Bay.
And thank you for that. But, you know, just a number or two here. How many openings at the moment, and how would that compare, say, pre-pandemic?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, it kind of varies because sometimes our openings are as a result of, you know, folks going out on leave mid-year because of, you know, maternity or paternity leave. But, on an annual basis, over the past 6 years, we average about 190 classroom teacher hires. Right. So at any given moment during the school year, we may be looking overall for somewhere between, 15 and 20, let's say, that we are covering either by providing, overloads to our existing staff or utilizing retirees who've come back to sub for us in long term capacities or folks who are there on substitute licenses. So that's typically what we're looking at.
Michael Harris, Milwaukee Public Schools, educating more than 68,000 students, biggest district in the state, around 8,000 employees. What positions is the district struggling to fill?
Yeah. Again, thank you for having us this morning. So I think, as Mike mentioned, this isn't unique to just one area, right? This is a national issue. But when I think about our positions in Milwaukee Public Schools, it again is around the bilingual, secondary content specific areas such as mathematics, science, things of that nature. So, and then those specialty areas, right? We want to provide our kids a very robust curriculum. And so when we're looking for culinary arts teachers or manufacturing teachers to fill those positions within our technical schools, that becomes a challenge. But again, specialized services, as Mike mentioned, special education, nurses, school nurses, believe it or not, right? So all of those positions have a direct impact on our students and their learning. And so we know that we want to ensure we continue to go out, share this information with individuals that have similar backgrounds to see if they can join our team here in Milwaukee Public Schools.
How much are you wringing your hands? I mean, how concerned are you that you might not have a classroom teacher tomorrow in a particular school?
Well, first, let me just say, I want to thank all of the the school-based employees in Milwaukee Public Schools. You talk about community stepping up to ensure students have what they need in order to continue in the learning process. And our staff has done an amazing job of doing exactly that. And it is challenging. We have tapped into some different types of resources here within the district, making sure that we have or generating pathways for our current employees who may be at entry-level positions but desire to become teachers. So our school, our board of directors, as well as our superintendent, has made a commitment to ensure that we know we have 8,000 employees strong, and out of those 8,000 employees, we have employees that want to grow within the district. And so we've developed pathways, partnerships with universities and colleges to ensure that these pathways are available and accessible to our employees to ensure we have a pipeline of future educators coming through the system.
We're talking with three Wisconsin educators about teacher shortages. Michael Harris there at Milwaukee Public Schools, Mike Fries at the Green Bay Area Public School District, and now let's bring in Sue Fondry at UW-Eau Claire, previously a high school teacher. You're now a professor working on this pipeline with aspiring teachers. As you hear these stories in these districts, what is causing the shortage, Sue?
Well, first of all, it makes me very nervous because I'm a member of the Wisconsin community, and the thought that our students aren't getting the great educators that they need on a consistent basis, you know, and we should all be very concerned about that because we are where we are because of the amazing educators and public education system that we had in our past. And when I look at these stories and I look at the Wisconsin Education Career Access Network where all of the districts post their openings, I see more unfilled positions than ever before, and I think, speaking for all the teacher preparation institutions across the state, we would love to have more students coming through our doors, but we've also been experiencing, you know, pipeline issues the same way that the districts have. We probably would have had 20 more students at the graduating 20 more students a few years ago, or we're down a little bit. I'd like to see those numbers come back up.
Why do you think that is the case, that it is more difficult to attract these majors into your department?
I think there's a number of different issues. First of all, is there are just fewer high school students going to college for a number of reasons, for demographic reasons, for, you know, opportunities. When Quick Trip and Costco are offering you $16 to $20 an hour right out of high school, that's tempting because you can make a lot of money without having to put a lot of money into a four-year education. We just heard from the last guest that word before about food insecurity and rents going up. Those are all factors that potential college students have to take into account, and the cost of college is off-putting to some people. And I think another issue is that once upon a time, educators themselves promoted the idea of education as a career. But when I look at my students and I ask them that question, are you here because your parents are educators and they wanted you to go into education? The answer used to be yes. And now the answer is no. They're actually here despite what their parents have told them. If their parents were educators or their relatives were educators, they used to tell them, you should go into education. It's a great opportunity to work with young people and develop young minds. And now those same family members are telling them, no, you should not go into education. The stressors that they see their family members and relatives experiencing, they're here despite that, which I'm so happy that they're here.
Let's bring a caller in. Eugene, go ahead. Explain your situation.
I started out in the early 60s. I went 2 years County Normal, and I finished up down to Platteville. But at that point in time and space, you had a good union that would support you. And Act 10 pretty much did away with that. And I was so close to one of the local high schools, and I saw things I didn't like. For instance, I saw teachers teaching to the test so they could keep those test scores up so the schools could get their money. And I don't see the creativity in the schools, which is what we were taught at normal school.
So a lot has changed in terms of the latitude in the curriculum, what this teacher can do, and also bringing in the issue of unions. And I want to go back to you, Michael. What do you hear from teachers when they feel like they don't have that representation?
I would say that in Milwaukee Public Schools, you know, we have our MTEA that is very active, and so our teachers do have those available resources. But I want to bring it back to the fact that we know that our kids and our staff members have gone through this pandemic, and so we know that additional supports are needed, and the additional funding that school districts have received has been targeted to support those efforts. Are we hitting every mark on what those supports need to look like? No. Because I'm not sure we all understand what supports are truly needed, right? We've all gone through some different experiences throughout the pandemic. And so I think it's really important for us to have an open door policy. So as and continue our open door policy as employees talk about what their needs are so that we can ensure that we can put those supports in place for them to be successful within the classroom.
Milwaukee Public Schools, Michael Harris, Talent Management Senior Director there. Sue Fondry with us, Education Professor at UW-Eau Claire, chairs its Education for Equity and Justice Department. And Mike Fries leads Talent Acquisition, Development, and Retention for Green Bay Area Public School District. Call in with your questions about labor shortages at schools. Share what you want to add to this conversation, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As hundreds of thousands of public educators have left the teaching profession nationwide since the pandemic, we get on-the-ground views from Wisconsin on this workforce shortage. Call in at any point with your questions, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Education Professor Sue Fondry chairs the Education for Equity and Justice Program at UW-Eau Claire. Michael Harris with Milwaukee Public Schools and Mike Fries at Green Bay Area Public School District, both leaders in employee recruitment and retention. I want to turn to you, Mike Fries, because I noticed that in your three very recent teacher postings, job postings, that they say 3-year signing bonus eligible. Can you explain what that is and what techniques, other recruitment tactics you're using here?
Yes, it's not unique to our field. We've seen it in recent years, certainly, and in having conversations with the sorts of you know, resources we have available when looking at our salary and compensation approaches. You know, we've been monitoring what works with regards to recruitment and retention. You'll notice that like in those postings, we're looking for folks that are interested in joining the organization. And in this case is the area of special education. And, you know, based on that minimum 3-year commitment, there's opportunity to be incentivized a little bit. So that's kind of been our first kind of dip into the water in recent years around that, although we've tried that in the past with other areas as well. So we're monitoring how that is working in terms of improving the volume of applicants and to determine to what extent is that a long-term and frankly a sustainable strategy, right? So that's kind of the background on that one.
So if you stay in the job for 3 years, you're eligible for a bonus?
Yeah, basically we're looking at the end of each of the first 3 years, you know, supporting that for those educators. I think what's interesting is what we're seeing with regards to folks interested in becoming classroom teachers. A lot of them have not completed a traditional education prep program, and so they're looking at the need to be investing funds to support their licensure completion in one of the various flexible avenues that exist in our state right now. And so there are folks that are interested in joining the profession, but They also are in need of either signing up for classes, enrolling in a program, or applying for licensure. And so one idea behind this approach has been, well, maybe that can help, kind of mitigate some of those extra costs that may be taken on by someone who is ready to make this life change in moving into this profession.
When you hear that, Sue, what do you think in terms of the licensing requirements and what these teachers need to be able to be in the classroom?
When I think about somebody teaching at the same time that they're trying to get preparation for teaching, it sounds like it's a lot of stress and a lot of extra time that they're putting into their day. Whereas a graduate from a preparation program such as UW Eau Claire or any of the other system schools and private schools, they get that preparation in their four-year experience as an undergraduate. You know, they have scaffolded courses, they have scaffolded content, they have scaffolded field experiences where we get them out into classrooms early so that they see what the teaching profession is about. They work with experienced cooperating teachers, and they have structured and supported experiences in the classroom so that when they finally do get into their own classroom after student teaching, it's not a shock to them. They know exactly what they should be doing and, you know, the ramifications of working with young people. So obviously that's the best approach. But again, we're not producing enough people across the state for the vacancies that we're seeing. I mean, and that brings up another issue is how do you retain current teachers so that we don't have to produce extra teachers from the undergraduate pipeline? How do we retain excellent long-term teachers who have built up their skills, who know their communities? What's the goal there in terms of keeping them in the classroom and supporting them to stay in the profession longer?
Talking with three Wisconsin educators on the teacher shortages, Sue Fondry there at UW Eau Claire. We have Mike Fries at the Green Bay Area Public School District and Michael Harris at Milwaukee Public Schools. Michael Harris, turning to you, how do you get applications in the door? How does recruitment work for Milwaukee Public Schools and then retaining that workforce?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kate. So for our recruitment events, we know that it needs to be community-based, right? We know that we, MPS, has to go out into the community to really ensure that folks know about the career opportunities available here within the district. We've also done some unique pieces with our international recruitment. We are going overseas to recruit those content-specific areas that I mentioned earlier, mathematics, science, because we're not seeing a lot of those majors coming into the field here within the states. So we're going to places like Nigeria, Colombia, Mexico to pull individuals to the district to work in our schools to support teaching and learning. I think when it comes to the retention piece, it's really about creating the professional climate and culture you want within your schools and departments. And so our district right now, we're really focusing on really monitoring the employee experience over a period of time. And I'm really excited about this work because we really never captured this type of data from our employees. So we really want to make sure that our onboarding is really clean and making sure that people's basic needs are being met as well as their professional goals and aspirations. So it requires us to dig a little bit deeper to build better relationships with the individuals that we bring into the profession and into our district to ensure that we are aligning where they want to be in 3-5 years so that we can make sure that we're providing those types of opportunities for them within the organization.
Follow up here on this international recruiting. This is a whole different aspect because you're talking about visas. You're talking about, people who haven't been living in this country and then bringing them into your community. That, I would imagine, means much more support system for this type of faculty.
Absolutely. So I have one individual in my office that works specifically with our international recruitment. So that's their contact. But we reach out to our communities within Milwaukee, our Nigerian community. So as we're bringing Nigerians here, we're making sure that they're connecting with the community that is embedded here in Milwaukee. And so they're making them feel like they're at home. But also we've realized that the district has made a commitment that we need to assist them with housing, right? Because they're coming, and they are coming basically with not much. And so housing is important, making sure that transportation is arranged. And because we have resources within the district to help us facilitate that, that transition becomes much easier for these individuals to transition here in Milwaukee.
Talking about the statewide and national teacher shortage, share what you see happening in your district, in your child's classroom, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The struggle to retain teachers and recruit educators continues to be a problem in Wisconsin as districts post hundreds of openings for teachers and support staff. Call in with your questions, your views on our state's teacher shortage, 800-642-1234. We have Sue Fondry, who is a professor in the education department at UW-Eau Claire. Michael Harris is here, senior director of talent management at Milwaukee Public Schools. And Mike Fries heads up talent acquisition, development, and retention for the Green Bay Area Public School District. Let's bring on another caller now, Scott in West Allis. Scott, hi.
How are you?
Doing well. What is on your mind about the shortage?
Well, to give you a little caveat, I graduated from an alternative high school in Milwaukee Public Schools in 93. And at the time, we had our curriculum primarily computer-based and able to work at our own pace. So I'm curious of their thoughts on going to a more at-home curriculum where kids are able to be at home, be safe, allowing teachers to be safe, and able to increase classroom sizes beyond what a normal classroom capacity would be because of the difference in time allocated and necessary to teach kids.
Scott, thank you. I'm going to have Michael Harris field that first. Michael, go ahead.
Question. So we recognize that the pandemic taught us quite a bit about how we can deliver quality education to our students. And so, you know, Milwaukee Public Schools does offer a virtual option for its families and students, where students are able to work at their own pace at home. Because we know that what we've learned through the pandemic is that we can create online spaces that are community oriented. We can allow folks to engage in self-care if they need to while they're on that call online with that virtual employee. They can utilize all the tools to make sure that they are understanding and can access the materials in a way that will support their progress in that particular course. So we definitely have embraced the opportunity to provide that for our students, but we also know that that's not for everyone. And so it's important for us to make sure that there's a nice balance, but we want to make sure that there's an option for all of our students that want to engage in that particular type of learning environment.
Mike Fries, turning to Green Bay, used remote learning to deal with substitute teacher shortages. What do districts have to consider when bringing on remote teachers or substitutes?
Yeah, great question. And I appreciate this strand of the conversation because the changing technology world that we all live in is often not spoken enough about in terms of the learning needs of our students, as well as, you know, all of our staff who work in this environment. When you look at leveraging staff who may be hired for remote positions, right? You know, you want to make sure that you're following the rules and laws of the state of Wisconsin and the Department of Public Instruction, ensuring licensure, making sure that not only do you have a high quality instructor who might be teaching remotely, right? But also keeping in mind that anytime you have an instructor in one location, whether they have some students in person and other students, you know, zooming in, if you will, or if you have that instructor remote by themselves somewhere, and then a bunch of students somewhere else accessing the course, or multiple places accessing the course, you would need, of course, to provide staffing for those locations, right? So in short, let's say you have a teacher teaching remotely in one middle school, and some of the students are right in front of them, but they have some other students dialing in through Zoom or whatever the platform may be. There's likely going to need to be an adult in that other location, making sure that they can handle any technology issues, making sure students are all set to go and that their needs are met from an adult supervision standpoint on that end. And as our caller indicated, that's not really a new thing necessarily. You know, I did that as part of my student teaching back in 1998. So that's something that education has navigated for a number of years. And I know Michael and I are both in, you know, relatively highly populated urban areas. But for a lot of our rural districts, our suburban districts, they often have, you know, they have many years or decades of partnering with our CESAs, the Cooperative Education Service Agencies, or with each other to provide these sorts of environments. It's definitely been a statewide thing. And I think it's not going away, right? Regardless of teacher shortage or not, it's not going to go away as we develop options for our students long term.
It sounds, Sue, as well, that the logistics here in so many different type of platforms to teach, that could be very difficult to be able to make sure teachers are prepared for whatever type of environment that learning is taking place.
That we learned in higher ed during the pandemic, because we also had to go hybrid and online, we learned that we needed to help our teachers know how to do that too. So we had to retool, for example, our technology and learning course. It's now hybrid. Students in the program learn how to prepare to teach in a synchronous and asynchronous environment. They learn about and discuss how to build community in a virtual environment as opposed to in a face-to-face environment. And they also learn about, you know, what are the stressors that come with additional responsibilities when you do have both in-person K-12 students and people zooming in. There's extra work that goes with that, and quite often it falls on the classroom teacher to have to do that. This generation of students who've come through our programs during the pandemic, they're uniquely qualified to know what that's like. They themselves learned in hybrid and online formats, and they can make those connections with their students who are now doing that in K-12 classrooms. So I'm really proud of the way that they came through the pandemic, but also the way that they adopted new technologies and adopted new ways of thinking about how we can deliver content. And just to follow up on the caller's point, I would say that when you do have virtual learners, you need fewer learners in that classroom, not more. I think the stressors and additional work that comes with a virtual community and a virtual format requires smaller classes rather than larger.
Sue Fondry at UW-Eau Claire, Michael Harris at Milwaukee Public Schools, and Mike Fries at Green Bay Area Public School District, as we talk about the teacher shortages, where we go from here. You can join in along the way, 800-642-1234. I want to turn to Governor Tony Evers this week. In his State of the State, received a standing ovation during the address for these comments on student success.
If we want to get our kids caught up and achieving at their highest potential, that we need to reduce and keep class sizes small. Schools need resources to retain experienced educators and recruit new talented folks to join in our classrooms.
And so, Sue, you know, Governor Evers went on to propose over $20 million toward retention, recruitment, and development. How could that money be used?
I can't tell you how important it is to have a governor who's a former superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction who knows the conditions of K-12 schools and the people who staff them. It's just crucial for not just funding, but just an understanding of the logistics and the issues that are tied up with that. I'm sorry, can you repeat the question?
What do you think, how do you think that money could be used best?
Well, for example, our college recently received a workforce integration grant of about $9.5 million. And one of the things that we're going to put that money toward is helping rural districts work with student teachers, helping student teachers get into rural districts with the eye toward keeping them in rural districts after they graduate. Because obviously there are significant shortages in Green Bay Public Schools and Milwaukee Public Schools, but also the rural districts are hurting too because it's difficult to attract people to come to there. So the idea is that if we can get student teachers placements in those rural districts, they'll see that it might be a climate and a community that they're interested in staying in and help those rural districts retain those student teachers.
Turning to you, Michael Harris, you know, when Evers laid out his ideas in the speech, he said there's this big pool of pandemic retired teachers who could be essentially coaxed back into the classroom. Is that realistic? Is that pool of teachers who retired, do you see them coming back?
That's a great point. I think retired teachers would come back. But because of the way it's set up with their benefits, there's consequences for that. And I think that is one barrier that we need to remove. You know, they can't come back until after a certain number of days, and then there has to be some suspension in their benefits. And, you know, it just makes it very complicated. And so with that, I think that is a great idea to tap into that. We have a lot of individuals that kind of went out early, right? But they had their years and their time and so forth, so on, but really love the profession and would love to come back if there was an easier way to enter back into the profession. I love the fact that there will be funds available to look at recruitment. I think if we're trying to bring a new set of talent into the education world, we need to look at offsetting the cost of these programs for these individuals to go back to become licensed teachers. I think money could be used to recruit individuals that way. When I think about the retention piece, it's really about creating opportunities for people to grow and learn. And so we might have to change up strategies where the typical workday looks like this for those folks that have been doing this work and they are exemplar in their practice so that they can help and assist novice teachers coming into the profession, right? We need more of that to provide that mentorship, that support system for those new teachers coming in. And so how can we leverage those veteran teachers that are exemplar in their practices to support these new teachers coming into the profession to ensure success for both the teacher and our students? So I'm excited about what Governor Evers has had mentioned during his union address.
Mike Fries, you found it difficult to pair new teachers with a mentor who's been in the system quite a while. Is that right? What are you finding?
Yes, thanks for that question. It's more of, you know, I think when we have this conversation today, we've always had a need for plugging day-to-day substitute absences or short-term leaves. I think that the conversation today has been about what about this larger kind of concern about the filling of positions where we have less of an applicant pool. There are structures set up in our profession and in our state to support the successful onboarding and sustained development for our new educators. But we are trying to predict and forecast if you have a school population where too many of your staff are too early in their career or have are being asked to provide that teacher leadership mentorship for too many others, it creates an additional stressor on the system, right? And so the idea that educators will always be needed to support the next generation of educators, I think is always going to be there. We're just trying to forecast, how do we make sure that that sustained onboarding and the mentorship and then the professional development career ladder that many of our educators can pursue to get into those leadership and the support and the mentoring and the specialist positions, that isn't interrupted by the teacher shortage discussion that we're having today.
Mike Fries from the Green Bay Area Public School District there. Michael Harris, Milwaukee Public Schools, leading efforts to address the educator workforce shortage in our state. We have UW-Eau Claire Education Professor Sue Fondry. Still time to add your perspective, your questions, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Educator vacancies remain persistent, widespread in Wisconsin and other states. Be part of this discussion on teacher shortages. Call in 800-642-1234. We have Sue Fondry, chairs the Education for Equity and Justice Program in the Education Department at UW-Eau Claire, Michael Harris with Milwaukee Public Schools, and Mike Fries at Green Bay Area Public School District, both in employee recruitment and retention. We heard from Molly in Wisconsin Rapids, called in to say that they're a student at UW-Stevens Point, and they have a teacher who travels there from Milwaukee to teach courses. And Molly wants to know if teachers are compensated by their districts for their travel, if they're going from one community to another to teach. I will toss this. I guess, you know, Sue Fondry, do you want to pick that up?
I'm not sure. Are they referring to somebody coming up to teach higher education courses, or
I think in her setting that they are coming from Milwaukee to Point to teach, and was wondering that, you know, in districts, do teachers get compensation if they're teaching a ways away in another district, if they're traveling a distance?
I don't have an answer for that. I had some former students who did travel quite a ways, and as far as I know, they were not compensated.
Michael Harris, anything there?
So we do have teachers in our district that support various schools, but typically with 156 schools, you can imagine we can coordinate that where travel time is included into their workday. But if it's we do allow for a mileage compensation in a district for those that may need to travel from one location to the other.
Let's turn to pay. The National Education Association says the average starting salary for Wisconsin teachers is $38,961. How is pay affecting this workforce shortage? And Sue, you can go first as you look at these numbers.
I think there's two factors that play into this. The first is support, which Mike and Michael have already referred to. When I get into my position, how am I going to be supported so that I feel like I want to stay in that position for the long term? Because we know through research that the longer a teacher is in a position, the more skills they gain and the greater understanding they have of their students and their students' families and communities. And then the second piece is compensation. Am I being compensated for the work that I'm putting into it? And it's a lot of work. People work long hours, and they work at night and the weekends and during the summer. So the compensation piece is key. And I think a lot of our graduates are looking around at the surrounding states to see, can I take my Wisconsin licensure and go to Minnesota or go to Iowa or Illinois, where districts might be paying more than they are in Wisconsin? So the compensation and the support, those are two key pieces, especially for people coming out of programs with substantial, you know, student loan debt.
Mm-hmm. Mike Fries, starting salaries, Green Bay, where are you at?
Yeah, great question. Actually, you know, in our district right now, we have both a bachelor's compensation model and a master's degree compensation model. We're above the average overall. We believe we're quite competitive. The additional thing that I've noticed in the past couple of years is when we're talking with candidates, they're asking questions about insurance premiums, cash in lieu of taking district insurance. They're wondering about, sometimes I've been asked about that, the travel reimbursement if you're traveling between schools, which, you know, we're just like Michael Harris described. So it's going beyond just a dollar amount on paper, because if, I mean, stating the obvious, if the insurance premium and copay is $500 or $1,000 or $1,500 difference in a given year, that's real dollars that may impact you. And so we're having that total compensation benefit conversation with candidates and looking at what is the way to stay competitive in the market with our peers around local areas as well.
But Michael Harris, I mean, when I'm quoting this number here from the NEA, we're talking like that works out to like $18.73 an hour. You know, is that accurate?
We should be ashamed, to be honest. I'll just be quite frank there. Educators are the core of our public education system here in the States, right? And so when we think about our educators, we should compensate them accordingly. We are definitely above the average. But again, like Mike shared, we try to make sure individuals joining our team understand a complete compensation package, which includes the benefits, which include, you know, the retirement systems and all of those things that really have a lasting impact as you pursue this career. We too have a bachelor's and master's track for our employees, but definitely I think more attention needs to be placed on the compensation for educators, fully licensed educators, right? In Milwaukee Public Schools, we have a track for those working towards licensure, and then we have the track for those that are licensed. We want to make sure that we're equitable in that framework, but definitely I think more emphasis needs to be made on the overall compensations for teachers across America.
Sue, you have the last word here in our final moments. How likely are schools to raise teacher salaries as they look at the shortage?
Michael, you're absolutely correct, and thanks for saying that. I would like to see them come up, but as we have in nursing, nursing shortages have resulted in better packages for nurses and just better base pay for nurses. They come out making quite a bit more than education majors do. I'd like to see that happen in education too. I think the difference though is that nurses tend to work in corporate settings and teachers work in publicly funded settings, and therefore any kind of market force is not going to work quite as well for public education. Mm. I'd like to see public education recognize the amount of time that these young graduates have put into their education and continuing it past the point of graduation into a master's program and just additional professional development, and recognize the crucial role that they play, not just for students' lives, but for the life of the community, for the life of businesses that require expertise in their hiring.
And we are out of time. Thank you all for joining us. Sue Fondry, Chair of the Department of Education for Equity and Justice, UW-Eau Claire. Mike Fries, Michael Harris. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.